and Uno. Hi, I'm Dieter. That's Hutch. And it's Friday before the 49ers take on the Minnesota Vikings in week two of the NFL season. And we're here to break it down for you as only we can. And trust me, we're the only people with this information, with this kind of sick, sick mentality. How many times have you watched, Jake, Vikings and Giants? Because no one will ever question our commitment to this bit again after we tell you these numbers.
It's so much Daniel Jones. It's Kayvon Thibodeau being terrible.
Awful.
It's rough.
Awful. It's rough. They get Brian Burns. He didn't. I mean, he had one really cool hit, but that was about it. Yeah. As I was saying earlier this week, Jake, I don't know what kind of data we actually got from the Vikings in week one because the Giants are just so bad. On offense, just for reference here, Brian Daboll, the Giants head coach offensive coordinator, some point in the first quarter just decided, oh, our quarterback sucks. Let's see if we can kill him. And that was their offensive game plan. And on defense, it was very reminiscent of a game that I think about quite frequently, if I'm being honest, when Ben McAdoo's Giants came to Levi's Stadium. And it's the only time that I can ever definitively say I've seen a football team try to get their head coach fired, because the way that the defense played in that contest, the routes that they were taking, you're in the press box, you get the all 22 live.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they were throwing the game, but they sure as hell weren't trying to win it. And it's that's what it looked like. And I think they were trying against the Vikings in week one. So the Giants got awful. It was like an FCS opponent against Georgia. And I guess that makes the Vikings Georgia, which I don't feel comfortable really saying now that
I don't think that's true. I went back, you know, after watching the Giants game, and I had to watch the 49ers last time because I was like, I was there and I couldn't remember why it went so wrong. You had McCaffrey fumble in the first drive. You had
O-line
breakdowns in key situations. And the 49ers couldn't run the ball. McCaffrey had 3 yards of carry. The Vikings front just stuffed them. Burford looked bad. Brendel wasn't great. Banks had a moment. Like, the O-line didn't look great. And they had no Trent. So they had no Trent, and they had no Debo.
And by the way, let's be clear about this. As bad as that game was for the 49ers last year, I think it was a Monday Night Football game, they still had a chance.
They still had a chance, and if Jake Moody had made a 40-yard field goal, they would have only needed a field goal to win it instead of a touchdown. So, like, everything that went wrong, like, Spencer Burford missed a block badly, and then instead of just having a first down, the 49ers snuck it, and Purdy got concussed. And then he threw an immediate interception because they snuck him again because that sneak didn't work.
Yeah,
and then he threw another interception. So that's the sort of game that was. I look back, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, Brian Flores' defense and all the stuff they throw. The 49ers could move the ball through the air. The defensive front got them in the run game, but they moved the ball fine through the air. I didn't see any reason to believe they couldn't do that, and they couldn't do it without Debo. I mean, they did it without Debo.
So, they did it without Debo. They did it without Trent.
Yeah. So, I feel pretty good about where the 49ers are. I think Pooney's a massive upgrade right guard, assuming that Burford doesn't start at left guard. But, you know, even if he does, he's next to Trent. So you can mitigate some of that. So I like where the 49ers are at. I think they're going to be able to be more physical and run the ball a little bit better. And they just have every weapon at their disposal right now. Ayuk's going to look better this week. And, yeah, their defense is good. Like, don't get me wrong, Harrison Phillips is a problem for Jake Brendel.
Really good player.
Their front is physical. You know, they've got some big boys up there with Jonathan Bullard and Jerry Tillery, just big dudes.
Little
and,
Jihad Ward action. Van Ginkel was one of my favorite players. I thought the Niners should have gotten him over Leonard Floyd. After week one, I mean, all the positives you can say about Leonard Floyd, you'd rather have Van Ginkel.
I liked Floyd in the past game, but Van Ginkel's he's pretty well-rounded and he's smart.
He's awesome. So let me just throw this at you. Let's keep it really simple. Let's keep it tight here. If the 49ers were to lose this game, how would they lose this game?
They would get stuffed up the middle and allow pressure, I think, up the middle on Purdy,
And that's a viable option given how Jake Brendel played. We've gone into detail on that. And then obviously you have a question at left guard with Aaron Banks.
Agreed. You know, Dallas Turner's a rookie in week one on the edge, but Van Ginkel's, you know, really good. I think if Purdy if they struggle to run the ball and the offense is just out of sync and Purdy forces it into, you know, a tight window that's not there, and the Vikings are just able to slow the game down with Aaron Jones and Darnold just takes what's there, there's a route. I mean, again, as any coach would say, it's National Football League. You know, you can win against
any team. That's the spread is 6 points for the Vikings at home, which I found to be rather interesting. Something that I keep coming back to as I think about this game this week is George Kittle's quote after the game saying, when Christian McCaffrey's out, the playbook gets simpler. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily a great idea against a team in the Vikings that is, at least they're you can tell they're coached. You know, I don't know if they're well coached or not on the defensive side, but they got ideas. I once had Todd Downing, former Raiders offensive coordinator, I once had someone tell me he doesn't have ideas, which I thought was the sickest burn I had ever heard. And then you kind of watch me go, oh, no, there's no ideas here. There's nothing creative. Yeah. He's not trying to attack anything on the team. He's just pressing X, Y, or Z on Madden. You know, like he's just calling this against air. And, you know, on the flip side with Kevin O'Connell, he might not have the quarterback. I don't know if Sam Darnold's good or not. He looked competent for sure against the Giants. Yep. Better, because he's getting paid $10 million a year. If you can't look competent against the Giants for $10 million a year, you're not going to have a job in this league very long.
Correct.
But you know Kevin O'Connell's going to scheme it up. You know Kevin O'Connell's going to do what Kyle Shanahan does, which is find weak points and attack them and attack them and attack them. And you know Brian Flores is trying to do more or less the same thing. And they don't necessarily have the personnel on the defensive side. Their corners are sketch. But you got a Harrison Smith who you can play at the line, second level, third level. You have a defensive front that's aggressive. And I think Dallas Turner.
I like Ivan Pace, their linebacker. Yeah. I think he's really good and up and coming.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and you just have an agent of chaos there. We saw, you know, Brock Purdy struggle with agents of chaos last year. Mike McDonald being the most clear-cut example in the Baltimore Ravens on Christmas, but also with Brian Flores in that game against the Vikings. And while they were able to move the ball, it did force mistakes and a critical mistake in a big moment. So when if the 49ers are just going to try to keep it simple and hope that their talent gets them over the hump, I think there might be, as strange as this sounds, because I think the Niners are a very well-coached team, but I think that the margin can be tightened by Kevin O'Connell, Brian Flores. We got nothing to lose, baby. We're 6-point dogs at home. Let's throw caution to the wind. And there are some weak points, and in particular, weak points along the spine. Talked about Brendel, right?
Yep.
But let's talk on the defensive side, on the spine. You got question marks on the defensive line, particularly with depth. But then Devondre Campbell, and then you got George Odom and Jair Brown behind him. You can probably get something over the middle if you're the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I think the safeties are going to have a lot to prove against Jefferson in this game. Probably no Jordan Addison. We're talking about this before injuries are confirmed, but that's out there. I will say on the spine, the Vikings, granted, it was against Dexter Lawrence, who's the only competent player the Giants had, and he demolished.
Yeah.
But Garrett Bradbury looked really bad. And Ed Ingram... Listen, we talked about how bad Jake Brendel was. Ed Ingram got a 9.3 pass block rating from PFF, which is 64th out of 64 guards. And listen, I know PFF's not the end-all be-all.
They finally found someone.
I'm just saying you've got a situation where both teams are vulnerable up the middle, and I'm just saying you run some stunts where Malik Collins, one of his best attributes, is when you run a stunt, he takes two guys with him.
Yes.
Every time.
And it gives Hargrave an opportunity to just go.
That's something where like the backup defensive tackles, like Jordan Elliott's big enough where on a pass rush, you have him take two guys out just like that
I think he can
in a pass rush situation. I think he's a guy where when he tries to read run, he gets washed out and it looks terrible. I shouldn't be spending time talking about their backup defensive tackle.
Well, no, I do think it matters. I really do think it matters because it wasn't something that proved to be of any issue because the 49ers were on the field for like 40, 50 defensive snaps. So you want to talk about, okay, short week. Well, their defense wasn't on the field very much. And so that's great because now you didn't have to test your defensive line depth. But if you get into a situation where Minnesota is able to convert on third downs and able to move it, and they have not just one drive like the Jets had on Monday night, but three, four, five drives like that,
yeah,
where even if it ends in a field goal, that's just a lot of plays. Now you're relying on Kevin Givens. Now you're relying on Jordan Elliott. And heaven forbid, now you're relying on Robert Beal. That's an issue for the 49ers, particularly against a team that knows how to zone block in the run game and has a great running back in Aaron Jones who can beat you not just with the ball in his hands off a handoff, but can beat you on little swing passes, screen passes, dump offs.
No question. You talked about O'Connell. My number one takeaway from watching the Vikings-Giants games, beside the Giants suck, is that O'Connell was dialing it up. He made things very clear for Darnold, where Darnold went one, two, throw it there.
Had to go to three. He never went to three once.
And I think obviously being with the 49ers helped. He said that helped. But like going into a similar system with a head coach who's like, go there, go there. Plus, he's dialing it up for, he was planning to dial it up for a rookie quarterback anyway.
That's right.
Like he just made things so clear for Darnold, and Darnold executed to his credit. I think it'll be really telling how he plays.
I'll throw this at you here, Jake. Yep. It reminded me a lot of how the 49ers would scheme up games for Jimmy Garoppolo. And it was like, just if you don't mess this up, you'll win. And that was certainly the case for the Vikings in week one. Now, what was the issue for Jimmy? I mean, pressure in general, but interior pressure too. So you have to have a monster game. Bosa is going to give it to you. Right. And you want to see it from Floyd, but you just don't know. Bosa was incredible. I mean, he 10 out of 10.
Brief point. Bosa, I was like, I saw his PFF grade and I'd watched, you know, the game and I was like, oh, he's pretty good in the first half because, you know, by the end of it, it was basically over.
Right.
But I watched and I graded out every offensive lineman and every defensive lineman. And by the second half, Nick Bosa, I swear to you, was beating Morgan Moses, who has been a very, very good tackle in this league.
Very competent player.
For like a decade. He beat him every single snap in a row, like every single one. It was unreal to watch. And he's probably going to go against Brian O'Neill. I mean, I'm sure he'll face Darisaw too.
Yeah.
But he's going to get his. And if they have to chip, the Vikings tight ends are not good. Johnny Munt is whatever at Oliver. Josh Oliver can't Josh block. Oliver.
I would rather see Ed Oliver, if I'm being honest. He's an incredible athlete. I'd like to report him eligible.
Yeah. And without Addison, I just worry that, you KJ know, the Osborne. Niners are going to have a really good plan for Jefferson, you know, and honestly, there is something to, you know, where Garrett Wilson got his early in the game, making Darnold think that's going to be there. I know that's like
a little cat and mouse brain. I like that, though. I like that. But keep it simple. You let Jefferson get a little confidence. You lock him down when you need to lock him down on third down, and you hope your pass rush gets home.
You show a look that's like a clear, let's just say, cover three, and you're like, all right, I got a good look for Jefferson here. You run the same look later in the game. I think Sorensen is the way Fred Warner talked about him was really glowing and just like a vibe shift from Steve Wilkes.
He's really,
by the way, this was the game that Steve Wilkes called the cover zero blitz at halftime, which should have been a pick from Mooney Ward, but turned into a touchdown.
That's right.
Because he called the cover zero blitz on the last play of that. So
it was the only time he ever called a blitz, which is just the weirdest part of it all. Like that's you're like, he called a cover zero blitz. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't have a problem with that if he had ever blitzed at any point before or after. But he got a hair up his ass. He needed to prove some point. Steve Wilkes was a bad defensive coordinator, not just in how he called the game, but also in how he prepared his team defensively week in and week out. He was much like Nathaniel Hackett, much like some of these other coaches, just calling plays against a vacuum. He's not actually, you know, you're supposed to take what the defense gives you. Well, it's easy to find out what the defense is going to give you when they're not scheming up anything bespoke for your offense. And in this offense, it's pretty clear what you have to do. And I mean, count the amount of times this has been said in the history of football, but you got to stop the run. You got to take away the number one receiver.
Yep.
Both of those things are much easier said than done. But if you do that, it's over. The Vikings have no option. And the matchup that I keep coming back to that I'm going to be watching intently, because you said that Bosa will obviously go up against O'Neal. O'Neal's a fine player. Bosa's a much better player. O'Neal will get a couple of good licks in. It's not going to look like last week, but like Bosa's going to win that again and again and again. It doesn't matter, though, if Leonard Floyd on the opposite side against Christian Darrisaw doesn't get a couple wins. And that's a very hard thing to do against an elite left tackle. But this is the reason he was brought in. Not just setting edges. Clelin Ferrell can set an edge for $2 million a year, folks. It's about having the moves, the hustle, the wherewithal, the veteran savvy, whatever you want to call it, to where when Nick Bosa forces Sam Darnold to step up in the pocket or to roll out because he's feeling pressure, that Leonard Floyd is there and in position to take advantage of the good hard work that Nick Bosa is doing. And you cannot leave it to your defensive tackles, especially in an offense that is going to run a lot of play action. You cannot leave it to your defensive tackles to clean up the mess. The opposite defensive end has to clean up the mess. You cannot say, well, hopefully Malik Collins is there, or hopefully Javon Hargrave is there, and obviously more Hargrave than Collins. You can't just hope that they'll get there. Don't get me wrong. They'll be in position sometimes, but they have to be thinking run first against this team, particularly on the inside. It's on Leonard Floyd to look like the player that the 49ers signed him to be. And if he can't be that, now there's a rubric for how you can attack the 49ers defense, which is much easier said than done, but Leonard Floyd might make it even easier to say it.
And the Giants took advantage of having Kayvon Thibodeau on the left, and they ran right at him a few times, and Jones can go. I want to give you two X factors. I'll go first. One is sort of a galaxy brain one, Isaac Arendo. Because I don't know how much he's going to play in this game. He got like a couple snaps.
But he should play Jordan Mason. They need to find out what he has, because if Jordan Mason goes into a tent, he's your number one back now.
Correct. And I think they should mix him in a little bit more, assuming McCaffrey doesn't play, which is what Rappaport and Schefter have reported is likely.
That's our assumption.
I also assume, well, I don't assume, but I wouldn't be surprised if he missed the next game too. We'll see, but it's turf. I don't know. We'll see. But I think Arendo mixing him in, like, long speed, stretching out this defense. Harrison Smith is still a great player, but like, Arendo has home run speed that is a total change of pace for Mason that I think would catch this defense off guard, because you haven't seen much of it. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. And number two, Josh Metellus, their safety, he's interesting. He's like an interesting player. They move around a lot. He can make some explosive plays, but he also, like, last time they played, Kittle got matched up one-on-one with him and beat him clean for like a 28-yard catch.
That's right.
That's a matchup where I'm like, if they move that guy around, and that's part of the Flores defense, is they're moving everywhere. Safeties around, showing different looks. He's kind of a home run swing or miss sort of player. And that's a guy I'm interested to see. Do they attack him? Does Kittle get some matchups against him? That's something I'm looking for, especially with McCaffrey not out there probably to run choice routes.
Mm-hmm.
It could be another game they look at Kittle quite a bit.
I'm fascinated to find out if the 49ers stick with the heavy personnel that they used against the Jets or if they try to be more finesse in this game. I can see it going both ways, right? But they do need to, in all likelihood, especially week one, you're coming out, you're at home, you got a Jets team that's been in a constant state of flux. You're just going to dare Aaron Rodgers to look like old Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, that's a pretty, say what you will now with hindsight, but that was a pretty easy bet to make in the moment. Like, we're going to dare Aaron Rodgers to kick our ass. And that's what the Niners did. And he refused to even throw it to the right side of the field. And so once you get that immediate feedback from Aaron Rodgers, which is, I'm not rolling out, I'm taking three steps, and I will throw it right at the back of a defensive back if I have to, because I am not going to extend a play. I am going to look, maybe one, maybe two, maybe two rarely, one read, try to deliver the ball in a perfect placement. That's the offense for the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers is barking and barking. Sam Darnold is not dissimilar, but at least, and maybe to his detriment, will try. He will try to do something to expand it. So I'm curious if the 49ers get more wonky when it comes to, hey, maybe now they start standing some dudes up. Maybe they get a little Brian Floresy. Maybe they attack a little bit more than they did last week. I don't think that Simple is going to play as much as it did last week, because the Vikings are too well coached. And while the Niners have a significant advantage when it comes to talent, there are ways for them to get got. And I'm curious more than anything else to see if they're a little high on their own supply, right? Coming out of that game, total ass kicking, Monday Night Football, we don't even need Christian McCaffrey. And then, hey, 10 a.m. game, short week, on the road, in a dome. It's going to be loud as fuck. Like,
it gets loud in there, man.
It wouldn't shock me at all if the Niners came out a little bit sluggish, and now here goes that game plan of just, we're just going to run outside zone and inside zone ad nauseum. Now you actually have to get into your bag a little bit, which we know Kyle Shanahan can do, and we know Brock Purdy can do. And ultimately, my prediction comes down to this. It's a head coach in a quarterback league. I think the world of Kevin O'Connell. I really think that he's as outstanding as anybody in the league. He is in that echelon of offensive play callers with McVay and with Shanahan and maybe Mike McDaniel, who's to say anymore. He's up there with the best of them, LaFleur. But man, it's Sam Darnold versus Brock Purdy. I know where I'm putting my money. I know where I'm putting my money there. I think Vikings might cover, but I think Brock Purdy is... I think he's ready for this. I think he's been thinking about it for a long time. I don't like a vengeful Brock Purdy betting against that guy.
Yeah. My score prediction is 49ers 30, Vikings 23, like a late sort of another garbage time touchdown to almost cover.
Do you think they go for two to try to get the
point? No, they take the extra point to drive bettors insane.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's a little bit lower scoring. I'm going to go 26 because I do still think it's a field goal game. 26 to 21. I think the Vikings get three on the board. And maybe it is a backdoor cover for them, or at least a push. But I do think that the Niners probably, again, start slow. But once they get going, a lot of Debo, a lot of Debo digs, a lot of George Kittle in this game. Brandon Ayuk, great opportunity for a bounce back, right? Got Kevin Harlan on the call. I think it's going to be a really fun game. And if nothing else, I like watching two well-coached teams go at it. Yeah. And I enjoy talking to you, Jake.
I enjoy talking to you and all the sickos. I apologize. I'll be gone for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be a real problem for your boy. But you know what? We'll try to get some good folks in here, try to do their best Jake impression as if anyone could. And you know, we'll make it happen. But when we come back, I mean, Jake's coming back. And we'll be Patriots. Back for the, well, yeah, don't worry about that. You're already leaving. Arizona, Seattle, Kansas City, Dallas. That's one hell of a stretch. We'll be rocking and rolling. And obviously with me running the show solo, the numbers will just be through the roof. So looking out for it.
That's right. Appreciate you folks. Be back soon.